Joe Zagacki is on the Toyota of Hollywood hotline. By the way, if you're looking for the best Canes merch, check out Caneswear, caneswear.com. Joe Zagacki, voice of the Miami Hurricanes, and he'll be on the call this Saturday at noon when our undefeated Miami Hurricanes take on Georgia Tech. And I'll start with the rankings last night, Joe. I know Mario had said he doesn't care what the first rankings say. He says the last rankings matter, which obviously is correct. Are you invested at all in the order right now, in the rankings and the seedings?
Oh, yeah, I love it. Of course. They're talking about the University of Miami in November, and I know it's like, make-believe right now because actually I'm not even sure why they have this show at this point because so many different things can happen. But since they have it, and since the University of Miami is undefeated and a part of it, I'm going to enjoy every second of it while we're in the hunt. So what it does show is Miami's in the mix. If the season ended right now, they would be – then it's confusing, I think, to some, Hawk, because this is the first year of the 12 teams. And so they are ranked fourth, but if the season ended now, they would be seeded third and probably playing the quarterfinal game at the Peach Bowl in Atlanta.
And Joe, are you a fan of the 12? Do you like the expansion? Because it seems fun to me now with the 8 plan and then coming to the four, the big conference champions. Do you like the structure as you're seeing it play out?
Since they're having a playoff, Channing, yes, I do like 12. And I think it's going to go to 14 in a couple of years. But I think it gives – obviously, it gives more teams, more fan bases a chance. More people believe they have an opportunity. The truth is, it's really still only down to like, seven teams will get at-large bids. So a lot of teams get left out. But I do like 12. I think that's a good start. Hell, I was happy, 20 years ago when they had the bowl system. But this is fine. We have a playoff. It will be decided, for the most part, on the field. There's still a committee involved in ranking and seeding teams. But if you're late in the season and you've got a chance, you have one loss, or look at Alabama, they had, two losses. You have a chance, and you're Miami. If you stub your toe and lose one game here in the last three, normally that's the kiss of death, but you still have a championship game. If you get to that and you win the championship game, you're back in the top four in terms of seeds. So, yeah, I like the 12.
What do you think with the next three games coming up? We've got Georgia Tech on Saturday, then Wake Forest, and then at Syracuse, close out the season. Which scares you the most?
Saturday against Georgia Tech, if that quarterback plays, if he's healthy, because he's good. He can throw, he can run. They've got some explosive elements to their game. It's a home game for them. By the way, they wear white at home, so it's kind of their white out. Miami will probably be in orange, so people aren't freaked out by it. But they've got, obviously they won the game a year ago. And sometimes I look at the historical matchup. Actually, I look at it all the time. And this series is even, 14-14. And it should not be even. Miami should have a better program, better football program than Georgia Tech. They should not always be in some kind of dramatic dogfight with Georgia Tech, and since Miami's been in the ACC, that's been the case, whether it was Paul Johnson running that option offense or what they have now with Haynes King and this current coaching staff. Georgia Tech always seems to be a bit of a thorn in Miami's side. So Saturday's game, I think when they if they get to Syracuse undefeated, it will be a highly motivated Miami team. I'll take my chances with Cam Ward on the road in that game. Closing's always the hardest thing to do, but get to that game undefeated, and I'll feel pretty good about it.
And Joe, you were part of my my authorization to be a Cane this year after the Gators became terrible. So I appreciate it, but as an honorary Cane, I just want to ask a question. The slow starts, Cal game, and then you see the amazing second half. VTech, you see the amazing second half. Duke, then you see the amazing second half. Like, once once we, you know, being Ira Kane, we get to those big games, once we get to the playoffs, I don't know if we can start slow and go out and score 35 in the second half and keep that going. Is there any emphasis? Has anybody said anything about the slow starts?
Well, Channing, yes. And I would say I would have to amend that just a little bit as an honorary member. It's not so much a slow start. It's sustaining early success. Because in all of those games, they've had the lead. And they've had the ball with a chance to increase the lead. So it has been a case of not being able to sustain prosperity in those games. They were up on Cal. They were up on Virginia Tech going in for a touchdown that would have put them up, I think, 14 at the time. And Cam Ward threw the interception. They had a 10-point lead with the ball against Louisville with like 90 seconds to go in the first half. Then a 14-point lead with Louisville or whatever it was at the end of the first half, and allowed Louisville to kick a field goal at the end of the first half. Then took the second half kickoff, went down the field and scored, but then and ready to put the game away and allow them to return a kickoff. So I think it's their problem is getting the lead and not building on it. And to your point, which is kind of interesting, in the second quarter, Miami's numbers, that's their lowest scoring quarter. The second quarter is also their lowest percentage of third down makes in the second quarter. Conversely, in the fourth quarter, they convert third downs like 58% of the time, and they've outscored their opponent in the fourth quarter 131-41. So for some reason, they wait until it's late, but it's getting that lead and then not stockpiling the lead.
What do you think about, we had John Michaels on earlier this week, and this is a controversial take. John Michaels, huge Canes super fan. He says Cam Ward is the most talented quarterback that the University of Miami has ever seen.
Well, he might not be far off. I would say that, okay, he's got 29 touchdown passes, which is tied Steve Walsh, sort of. The asterisk there is in 1988, they didn't include the Orange Bowl game in the season stats. So Walsh officially has, or unofficially has, 31 touchdowns. But if you want to match the quarterbacks, I would go back to Vinny Testaverde, I think, is the closest comparison, because Vinny could also run, and Vinny created some of the most dynamic plays in University of Miami history. I think that would be my best comparison. And I'm thinking about Jim Kelly. I understand the historical significance of Bernie Kosar. Craig Erickson also was an elusive quarterback, but nobody has made the kind of plays that Cam Ward has made. And I would suggest that those guys probably had a better cast around them than what Cam Ward has. I think, you know, I don't want to take anything away from the Miami receivers, but they're playing at a top level. And we saw, you know, look at Restrepo broke the record. But, I mean, you're still talking of guys like Moss and Wayne and Michael Irvin that have played that position for other quarterbacks. And I would toss this back at you, Hawk. He might be, think about this for a moment, the best player at Miami since who?
Oh, boy. I mean,
the biggest impact since who? I think off the top of my head, my suggestion would be Willis McGahee, who had a Heisman Trophy type of season in 2002, did not get the Heisman, probably could have had the Heisman, but had a incredible season in 2002.
Biggest impact, though, is a great question. What are the Hurricanes today if Cam Ward's not their quarterback?
They're probably not undefeated. Not winning. They're not the Gators. Let me tell you that. And they're not as far as me. But, you know, I think that
there's somewhere between where they are now and Florida State.
Yeah, but the problem with that is that's like low hanging fruit. Okay, where are the Chiefs without Mahomes?
Right.
Where are the Patriots without Brady? He's a dynamic player, Cam Ward. One of the best that Miami's ever had. He's worked at it, and he's probably, again, I tell you, he's probably not getting enough credit for the way he is pulling everybody with him. And they do have a lot of talent on this team. But I'm at practice today. Practice is over, and I'm on the field 30 minutes after practice watching him throw the ball to Isaiah Horton, Xavier Restrepo, Jacoby George. Practice is over, and they're still playing football. And that's because of his determination and will and want to.
And, Joe, I want to – that same conversation talking about Cam Ward, you brought up he's not throwing to, you know, Wayne, Reggie, and Santana, and Michael, and Andre Johnson's the name I throw in there because Andre Johnson was hell. But speaking of Xavier Restrepo, is he underappreciated? Because for him to break the record of all these – the names we just brought up, what makes him special? What makes him the guy, Cam's guy? But just what he's done, even with Tyler Van Dyke, even with, you know, the guys he's done, like, he's always got numbers. Do we appreciate what we have right now in Xavier Restrepo?
Probably not. And what makes him is probably the most basic of things, Channing. He does his job. He's supposed to catch the football. He gets open. He catches the ball, and he's dependable. He's there all the time. He's dependable. He's a great teammate. He does what he's supposed to do, and he doesn't do it with, you know, a lot of fanfare. But, again, if you watch him in practice, and I watched him this morning, here's a guy who just set the record on a record-breaking catch. What a hell of a way to break the record, right? If you're going to do it the way he did. Catch it on the run. Have two players on defense collide into each other and run into the end zone. Well, he's not taking any time off in practice. He's going 100 miles an hour today in practice to get better, to make sure that they stay at a high level. Again, he's one of those guys after practice that is staying there. So I think it's his knowledge of the game, his desire to be great, maybe feeling like, you know, he's not the biggest guy out there. So I think he knows he's got to fight for everything on every play, and that's what he does. He fights for everything. And you got a new quarterback coming in here. Cam Ward, I don't know if when he got here, if he knew Xavier Restrepo from Adam. But Xavier Restrepo made damn sure that Cam Ward knew who he was, who he is, and what he's going to mean to him because he forced it. He said, yeah, let's go. Let's be great together. And he had to establish credibility with his quarterback, and that's what he did. That's what he does on every play.
Hey, Joe, on that same token, I know Restrepo, Cam Ward get most of the attention, rightfully so, by the way, but has the running game kind of exceeded your expectations, especially the last couple weeks? So Martinez and Fletcher last week against Duke combined for, I think, 120-plus. And then the week before against FSU, they combined for 200. That was kind of Damian's breakout party. Like, it's been a lot better, I think, than most people expected.
I think Solana, you know, last week was the lowest they've run for, 126 yards. I think it's been good, to very good, overshadowed a little bit by, you know, Cam Ward's plays, because Cam Ward's so dynamic. But I think there's an opportunity for the run game to be even better. I think those guys can be even better and have a bigger impact on the game. Maybe they haven't had to. They did against Florida State. They ran the ball well against Cal until they fell behind. But I think Martinez and Fletcher have a lot left in the tank. I love what they did with A.J. Allen against Louisville. He came off the bench and gave them a really nice changeup. And I think maybe the beauty of this team is A.J. Allen came off the bench against Louisville in the fourth quarter, carried the ball five times for 31 yards, and we really haven't seen him since because it hasn't called for him. His number hasn't needed to be called. We haven't seen a lot of Jordan Lyle lately. So I think over the next three games, the run game will be needed. Will be needed on Saturday against Georgia Tech. They're tough to run on. They're in the top 50 with their run defense. And this is the time of the year where teams are worn down and the most physical team wins. And I think Martinez and Fletcher and the Miami offensive line are in a great place right now to impose their will on the opponent. And I hope that happens.